Time for everybody to leave the classroom and go back to their dorm rooms immediately, because this is Deadly Cast and we are going to be talking about the latest episode, The Clampdown. I'm Alex.
Oi! We've got to save the Clampdown! That means you put away your tools, you get into your bay ropes, and you don't do nothing. I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And you are, as mentioned, listening to Deadly Cast, a Deadly Class podcast. Now, I just want to mention, because you've been off the past couple of weeks, Justin.
Yes.
Pete's been doing your voice.
No.
Yeah.
What?
For real. No.
Impersonating me.
Yeah.
No. You would come in and just do the intro and then leave.
Have you? Not
that wasn't
possible.
Clear to anybody.
Yeah.
That's
that would
how
be a
works.
Weird choice. That'd be a weird way to spend my time.
Well, you're a busy guy.
Did you, let me, from an acting choice, acting perspective, how did you take on my role?
I would just punch myself in the nuts a bunch of times to get that high-pitched, squealy voice.
That's not how I sound.
Super annoying. And then just was like, oh, I'm a douche. And then we'd start talking.
Just like Sir Laurence Olivier.
I remember I saw him in Henry VIII, and he said, oh, I'm a douche. And then went right on.
Exactly. Well, that's Shakespeare wrote that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's in the original.
The first folio.
Canto.
Nope. You're wrong.
All right. Let's jump in and talk about Deadly Class, because lots of things are leading up to this episode. Lots of things come to light here. Now, there is a school called King's Dominion that is a school for teen assassins. It's run by a guy named Master Lin.
Oh, man, I
something
wish I could
have
gone
found
there.
Out very recently is, even though Master Lin is a total hard ass, he actually has a secret family behind the scenes that he hasn't told anybody about. His sister, Madame Gao, who is the above him in whatever organization runs King's Dominion, we don't know a lot about them yet, found out about his family last episode. That means bad news for Master Lin going forward. Also bad news for Master Lin is what's been going on with Maria. Now, Maria's been going through some hard times.
Yep.
Back in Vegas, she was forced to kill her boyfriend, Chico, when Chico was threatening her new love, Marcus, who we'll get back to in a second. Maria, because of that, ended up under the thumb of Chico's father, who has essentially invaded King's Dominion and is trying to find out who actually killed Chico, and Maria was forced to kill Saya's brother, I want to say, or a fellow gang member.
I think it was her fellow gang member.
Let's say fellow gang member, because he was a guy that had called out a hit on Saya, which also plays into this episode a little bit. Saya is another member of the class.
Saya killed her cousin, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, there
and that's the family person member that died.
And so Maria killed him last episode. A lot of secrets and lies going on. Meanwhile, Marcus is harboring a little bit of a secret, which he told Saya about, I believe, that there's a guy named Fuckface, who killed 16 people in the orphanage that they were both in. Marcus destroyed his face, and now Fuckface found out about Chico and is coming after them all and has given them a deadline, or he is going to let everybody know that Maria killed Chico and they're all going to die. Let's see, what else is going on? There's a girl named Petra who is one of the rats, which is the non-legacy people. And Billy, who has a green mohawk, kind of likes her a little bit. There's somebody else who likes her that we'll find out about later in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Bow, bow, bow. And
then there's Willie.
There's Willie,
who is, you know, trying to be a better person with his new budding relationship.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Then sort of plays into this episode, I guess, a little bit.
It's there. Yeah. It happens.
It's in the background.
Lightly. Sure.
Anyway, basically what happens this episode is that a big fight breaks out and everybody gets thrown in lockdown into the room. So we get a little bit of a bottle episode, which is fun.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, over the course of the episode, a couple of things happen. One, Petra proposes a threesome, which we'll probably, I'm sure, come back and talk about in a moment. While Marcus gets tortured by Master Lin, shown old movies of his parents, and eventually admits everything that's going on. Master Lin gets to the bottom of what happened to Chico, reveals to Chico's dad that it wasn't an overarching master plan by any sort of gang to start a war, but that kind of doesn't matter. And what else? Saya and Maria kind of hash out their shit a little bit, but not totally.
Well, they almost fly off the rails for a good portion.
Also, Maria was kind of like, admitted that she was bipolar and having problems with that. And now in this episode, that's not an issue yet. Even a little bit.
And then by the end of the episode, though, everybody's back together and Marcus tells them exactly what's going on with Fuckface and that they're running out of time. Yeah. So in between that, though, there's a lot of character work going on, a lot of discussions. This episode is mostly about mixing up the characters in different ways, making them interact with each other so that we can learn a little bit more about everybody. What did you guys think about this episode?
This was fun. I've been loving how this show, first off, and we've talked about this a little bit, seamlessly moves from like assassination attempt, like high stakes murder. Oh my God, there's so much death everywhere. To like just road classic trip. John Hughes teens dealing with issues. And granted, high stakes version of that. And we have the great threesome series sequence in here with Lex, Billy, and Petra. And she's like, okay, I know you guys both like me. But if you want to get with me, it's going to have to be as a group.
Right. I am glad this ended up the way that it did. Yeah. I feel like I didn't need to see a threesome or anything like that. What?
You didn't need to?
I didn't.
No one needs to see a threesome.
If one of them was like a furry, you'd be really into it. But if it's like humans, you don't want to have anything.
It felt like the way that it ended up, it was Petra finding her own power and just leaving the situation. But that to me was the strongest beat.
Yeah, but she did that early. Like if you saw that those two were fighting and she was like, the only way to stop this, because they kept fighting over her, which she was proposed this thing just to buy time. It was a really smart move on her
part. But she started the whole thing.
Right.
So was she? So she had power. She had power the whole time.
The whole time.
No, I know. But it felt like a male fantasy thing up until she left.
Yeah.
Right. Except, I mean, she was trying to like, and maybe it was all her plan to be like, these two dudes like me. How can I get them to like cool down?
Yeah.
And it was like, ask them to do something, a threesome that they're not equipped to handle. Yeah.
Now, if I remember correctly, and I'm sure somebody will correct me if I am wrong, but in the comic, they do actually have a threesome.
Yeah, and I mean, they sort of they start it.
Yeah.
When does a threesome start? When does a threesome start? When, like, the threesomes you've been doing.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. When do they start?
You mean when I have one ice cream bar and a package of licorice, and I go back and forth between them?
Yeah. Honestly, that's more disgusting.
What are you talking about?
Than hooking up.
Probably starts as soon as Albin takes his pants off. That's when it starts.
Wait, what? With the ice cream and the licorice. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Cool.
Oh, we're on to something here. This is a real... Alex is sweating. You're busted. God. I think... I mean, they have the beginnings of a threesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then it gets interrupted.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Do you say that counts as a threesome then?
I bet they will... I bet the boys will tell people they had a threesome in their lives.
But I don't know. I think you got to follow it through. You
got to
follow it through until completion.
Oh, man.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, that's how all sex is?
If you stop halfway through a threesome, it's not a threesome, right?
I think when a threesome starts, you're in a threesome.
They didn't even get halfway. They got like 1%.
Wow. How far do your threesomes go?
Oh, my God.
At least 10%.
Yeah. At least 10%. What is 100% then for you? How far down the threesome pipe are you going?
100% is getting all the way through, like just powering through it.
Oh, my God. What is happening?
I feel like I'm talking about sex with my grandfather. So anyway, I thought that was good. Like, clearly Petra has a interest in spiky haired men because that's who Lex and Billy
are. This is what I'm saying is I don't think she has an interest in either of them necessarily.
It's just she happened to be locked in the room with them.
Yes, exactly.
She was playing them the whole time.
Right, but she is at least...
Because they wouldn't shut up or come down. So
but they like her.
Yes, that was super clear.
Yes. And I think and maybe she doesn't love that or like that, but she's at least playing with it. She's interested in that power dynamic.
Yeah. Sure.
So there you go.
I guess.
So let's move the fuck on. Please.
You know what I could do? We didn't even get to your...
We don't need to do that.
Can we get this threesome to completion?
Oh, my God.
Please.
Oh, man.
I've been completed for a long time.
I don't know what that means.
The Marcus stuff in this... I mean, Marcus is just always under horrible stress at all times. Yeah. And in this, he's... What I like... The other thing I loved about this episode is the love triangle, which is a, sort of another threesome in a lot of ways, between Marcus, Maria, and Saya, yeah. Is played out here in the most violent way possible. Mm-hmm. And it's really like, and Marcus is trapped where he away from the two of them, and he can't get in there and try to stop them from murdering each other, which I thought was a fun dynamic. And then he pays sort of the bigger price when he gets caught by the headmaster.
Now, what I'm wondering about in terms of his confession to Master Lin is we've been told very clearly that any student kills another student in the King's Dominion, and that's it.
Yeah.
Like, they're dead. We find out this episode, like, he tells Master Lin that, but there doesn't seem to be any repercussions. Why do you think that is?
I think maybe, I mean, I don't know. It's a school for assassins where murder happens all the time, so I feel like there may be some fudging just in the rule book.
So Master Lin's the most laid back of all the kind of rulers in the school.
We've seen, I think, a really interesting evolution of Master Lin over the course of these first couple of episodes, where he's the hard-ass headmaster, then he's revealed to have a family. That's something he wants to protect. He clearly cares about Marcus and cares about these kids. And in his scene with Chico's dad towards the end, he was clearly terrified.
He was scared. Yeah.
Like, that is part of that, I think, is making out Chico's dad to be the bigger badass. But also, that's just a weird thing to see. Like, we came into the series with Master Lin is in power of everything. Mm-hmm. And slowly we've learned there's all these other people above him. How do you feel about that dynamic?
I think it's interesting because, you know, if to put this on Harry Potter, like you think he's the Dumbledore, and then you find out there's like way more. Right. There's
the
like
Ministry
four
of
other
magic.
Yeah, exactly. He's above him. So that's cool. I also think though that like Chico was eventually going to be a threat to the school. Right. He's a bad dude, and he was sort of outside of any of the rules and was just doing whatever the fuck he wanted. Yep. So I think it is a little bit of a relief to Master Lin that like, okay, well, that problem kid is now not going to be a problem for me anymore. Now he's dealing with the repercussions with the dad.
Right.
Yeah.
What else did you like, Pete? What jumped out at you?
Well, it was funny that, you know, we had Marcus in the room with the two Nazis, and then we got the note underneath the door, and, the Nazi dude, Drago, ate it, which was kind of like a fun, kind of like thing a kid would do that was like, come on, man, what was on the note? So that was, I really liked how they kind of broke up the teams. It was kind of an interesting matchup. And then Maria was in there with Juan, and Dixie, and like they were speaking Spanish, which was very cool.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, and it was just kind of like an interesting, fun dynamic. And then it was great to see Marcus kind of fight, to try to get out, even though he knew he shouldn't have. And that like student film that Master Lin showed him was really fucked up.
It was a whole movie.
Yeah.
It wasn't his parents.
No, you could tell like that's how all student films start off like nice. And then it takes a weird turn where it's just a bunch of dead bodies and orange lighting.
Now, something that we played a little bit with in both of the last two episodes is the idea of what Marcus actually wants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think at this point that Marcus still is the same person from the first episode where he blames Ronald Reagan, he wants to kill Ronald Reagan, or has he changed enough at this point?
No, I mean, he talks about on the roof that, like, this is his family now, and he's willing to fight. I think he's come a long way. Like, that rooftop speech was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's changed a lot, and also he's just in so much deeper now. Right. He's like just kicking as hard as he can to keep his head above water when it comes to all these new relationships, to keep his friend group together and alive, both internally and to deal with all these external factors that he has. But what do you think he confessed to Master Lin?
Yeah, that was surprising.
Yeah, that's not cool. That's the one thing.
But he needed to do something because Master Lin was like, drew the line in the sand. It was like, I've stuck my neck out for you. I've done so many things for you. And I was very proud of Marcus that he did give him something because Master Lin was being honest and opening up to Marcus. And I thought that was really cool of him to do that.
Is Marcus, are Marcus and all the kids in the our little group in the rats, are they good? Are they good guys?
Yeah.
All of them.
I think they are
Not all of them.
Well, they're not.
I don't think Chico was a good guy.
No.
Chico, yeah, he's bad.
Sure. But I think the rats are the good guys because those are the people who are identifying.
I don't think that one spiky haired guy.
Lex?
Yeah, I don't like
Lex.
You don't like him? Well, we got to see his animated flashback.
Right. Oh, that was big.
Which was cool.
Yeah.
So that was. Seems it's fucked up.
Right. Yeah, and we got to see a softer side. He admits to liking Petra.
Yeah. Yeah,
finally. He treated her like shit, though. I'm not ready to forgive that fucking
but
asshole.
But you do that sometimes. You pull the pigtails a little bit. You know what I'm talking about?
What the fuck? Who are you all of a sudden?
Hey.
Hey, this is what? Threesome Alex.
Yeah, I don't like this guy.
I think this... All these characters are having been so damaged by their pasts that they, I feel like if they're not all good, they're all at least were good, but they've been damaged.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that's what we're learning, right? Like they're not, they're killers, but they're not. I don't know. I'm trying to think how to be
evil.
Sure. I was going to say they're killers, but they're not murderers. Like for the most part, like that's
interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a difference.
That separate. What?
I don't know if there's a difference.
Well, I think there is a line there, right? It's like between what's that guy, that Marvel Comics character that goes out and murders people all the time.
You're talking about the Punisher, one of the greatest.
Yes, I am talking about the Punisher.
Or Wolverine.
Right.
Yeah.
The excuse for both of those characters is that they're not serial murderers, right? Like, or at least they're not supposed to be. They're supposed to be lines that they won't cross. And I think it's the same thing with the rats and the characters that we're following here, where they have a code. They have things that they care about.
And that's interesting because they, as young people, they didn't know where the lines were or are, and because of their background, but the school gives them those lines.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And gives them the structure to be like, don't kill each other. Here are people that you can kill. Like,
yeah,
bad
it's
people.
Like, it's that's what school's all about.
Well, now, let me ask you, there was
stay in school, kids.
Stay in murder school.
The fun tension of like, okay, we're going to release the door so you guys can get something to eat. And kind of like Saya and Maria were kind of weaponing up a little bit. I was very excited and nervous about how that was going to unfold.
Well,
I thought
I'll
that was
what,
very exciting.
You got to see how it unfolded by the end of the episode. How'd you feel then?
I thought it was handled well.
Yeah.
I was worried about, you know, someone getting hurt, but I was happy with it.
How do you feel about the Maria Marcus relationship?
I hope that Marcus is smart enough to realize he's not supposed to be with Maria. He's supposed to be with Saya.
Interesting. Alex?
I hope he realizes how good he has it with Maria and pushes Saya to the side.
What the fuck? Are you serious?
Saya to the side. Saya to the side.
No.
You got to push Saya to the side. No, I agree. Maria.
Wait, you're both Team Maria?
I'm shipping Maria-cus.
Maria-cus?
Maria.
Are you guys serious?
Maria-cus.
You're shipping Psychus?
I don't know.
Psychus?
I don't think Psychus? That's what it is, but... Marcus and Saya are clearly the best choice.
Now, I will say there's a dude, actually, I don't know if it's 100% definitely a dude, but somebody's been leaving comments on our website saying they ship Willie and Marcus, I believe. Mm. Do you ship Willie and Marcus? Will Arcus?
Not particularly, but I mean,
Marley and me?
That's cool.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, I've shipped them.
You ship Marley and me?
Owen Wilson and that dog forever.
Dog died, right?
Nah, don't spoil that movie. Yeah, I'm saving that for when I'm 60.
Oh man. Double feature with the dog's purpose.
Cool. Gotta be the same movie. Now that you bring up Willie's character, what's up with that?
With Willie,
he's on the outside. From the very beginning of the show, he's been on the outside because he's a pacifist.
Right.
But he's in this murder school, and then every episode he's sort of out. That keeps him outside, and it continues to keep him outside.
They haven't figured out what to do with him on the show yet at all.
It's
Billy and Willie,
but I think
frankly,
this is his way in. This is his redemption.
What?
Once he gets one real relationship going, he'll know a little bit better.
I'm not saying plot-wise. I'm saying literally the writers cannot figure out what to do with him at this point. I think Willie and
You're
Billy...
You're blame the writer's room on this character?
Wow. Yes.
That's bold.
Willie and Billy... come and find me, writer's room. Come and find me.
Oh, my God.
Willie and Billy hold the same spot. They are both Marcus's best friend.
Yeah.
Like not, you can have more than one best friend.
No, you can't.
No yes, way. That's why I always change. Sometimes it's you, Pete, and sometimes it's Alex.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That's right. Love those
Never
weeks.
Both
Love
of
those
you.
Weeks, buddy.
Oh, yeah. We got a big one coming up.
Oh, man, that's going to be fun. Fuck you, Pete.
Yeah.
It's going to be my week.
You, Pete.
I know you guys are friends now, but I can't wait.
Yeah. Right. Best friends.
Willie and Billy have the same spot in Marcus's life right now. You only need one of them. One of them is going to die.
No, and that's it's going dumb. To be, you can have different spots for different people.
Willie is going to die.
What? No.
Yes.
You said Willie?
Willie. Yeah. Not Billy.
Billy.
No, you think Billy's going to die?
I think you guys are confusing.
Well, I think from a storytelling perspective, we've seen a lot of Billy, and we've seen not a lot of Willie.
Right.
So it would make sense Billy would die.
Or you get rid of Willie because they're not doing anything.
Oh, that's sad for a whole character to be like, hi, I'm sort of here. Bye.
Willie is basically, he's like that slice of pizza in the back of the fridge that you're like, oh, am I hungry for pizza right now? Maybe later. Wait, and then a week later, you're like, oh, man.
Pizza in the back of the fridge?
Yeah, we don't have insulation on the back of the fridge, so we just pack it with pizza.
Oh, my God. Dude,
you got my point.
Yeah. I can't believe you disrespect pizza like that and push it to the back. Demands the front of the fridge.
My entire fridge is nothing but pizza. It's just entirely built out of pizza.
So it's not pizza in the back. Yeah. I like that Pete keeps his pizza just like on a string hanging down in front of the fridge. So it's like, don't forget about me. Eat me right now.
Yeah. Well, he actually, the other end of the string is tied to his pinky finger. Yeah, so he doesn't
don't forget about me, pizza. I do think there's something very interesting about a character at a murder school that is a pacifist, but we have to see that play into the story.
Well, yeah, he's still got to grow as a person before we really
grow toward murder.
No,
grow
as a human.
Oh, grow towards dying.
Jesus Christ, you're an asshole.
Yeah. Anything else you guys want to talk about with this episode?
What would we think of the end?
I love this
show does a good job of really setting up what's going to happen in the next episode as a cliffhanger in this episode.
Yeah, I was all right with this cliffhanger.
Interesting.
He was like, we're running out of time. And I was like, I know that.
Yeah. He did say this season's almost over. First season of our television show.
A couple episodes left.
Yeah.
I did like how he was talking about them as a family. I thought that was very touching.
Sure, it was a fine speech. I don't know. I got to say, I was okay with this episode overall.
Okay.
It was not my favorite.
It was a good Master Lin episode. It was also nice to see him and Diablo interact and to see that he is scared of things. So
yes.
Not just his sister.
I love Benedict Wong. He's great.
Yeah, he's
great.
Great
in the episode. Yeah. All right, before we go, everybody's favorite part of the podcast, superlatives. It is time for some superlatives. We're very good at it. We really like doing it. Let's do some superlatives, starting with Jason.
What? Jason?
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
You guys aren't best friends anymore.
Our friend best friend week is off.
Wow.
Way off.
The fuck is Jason?
That was crazy because I thought it was I was like, is that what a weird, is it a joke? Truly, you said it and we're like, you thought that's correct. And only until we reacted were you like, that's definitely the wrong name. And let me ask you, what Jason was in your mind?
Yeah. I don't know. I think last week I accidentally called Pete Bill.
Wow. That's fucked up.
Something's going on with my brain, guys.
Superlatives, as we were talking about before we got derailed by the end of a friendship.
Yeah.
Lifelong glue huffer.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. Lifelong glue huffer goes out to Lex. Because, man, that dude went right to the... He was like, I'm alone in this room. Give me some huff. Give me some huff going.
Yeah. It was adorable little purse that he was huffing out of, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those clear change purses or whatever.
Yeah, it's fun.
I would say... most likely to be a Nazi is Dixie.
Yeah, I think she already is.
Oh, okay.
Like a full...
I'm good at this game.
Yeah. It's not even a game. Alex,
have you recovered yet? Have you gotten control over your brain and mouth?
Your eyes are fully crossed.
Oh, yes. Man.
Most likely to clearly die any second here is me, I guess.
Yes, exactly. You're sort of the Willy of this podcast.
Yes, 100%. Most likely to die, Willy. I'm going to throw that out there.
Really?
Yes.
That's quite a confident and horrible superlative.
Yes. Sorry, Willy. Sorry, writer's room. I apologize. And sorry to you guys, unless you support our podcast at patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. Please come on by. I'll definitely call you the wrong name.
Yep.
Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live and me at Jason Comic Book Club.
So sorry. Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for this podcast. Many more, and we'll see you after class.
Oi!